start things off today, how about a big-time TV star? Ladies and gentlemen, Loretta Swit is in the house. Hi,
hello,
Loretta.
Hello, hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
May I just start off by saying you're beautiful. I've never met you in person.
Well, and you can start, you can end with that, you have that, or you can make a recording of it. I'll take it with me.
All right. Let's burn a CD of the opening of the show for Ms. Swit. Can we do that, Kevin? Loretta is in town for the International Gem and Jewelry Show at the Gateway Center in Collinsville, which starts up tomorrow. And I'm glad you could take some time to come in the studios
me
of KMOX
too.
With me.
What a view. Are you kidding me? This is not work. Look at what you look at every day.
I know. If we had these blinds open over here, you could see the arch.
I can.
Can you see a leg of it through the blinds there? Yeah.
Beautiful.
Absolutely
wow.
Beautiful.
What a city.
Well, welcome back to St. Louis.
Thank you.
I want to just share something with you. Are you familiar with the Internet Movie Database?
No.
This has been on the Internet for a while, and it's some guy started it, and now thousands of people contribute to it, and the studios, I think, are contributing information.
Yeah.
And it's basically information about people who've been in movies and TV and pretty much everything they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to go to it now on the computer, you'd see a list of everything you've ever done, some of which you remember fondly, some of which you probably wish weren't listed there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Uh-huh.
I know that's the way it is with my career. Anyway, on the biography for Loretta Swit page, it lists your height here, which I won't mention. It doesn't mention your weight. My business. Mentions your ex-husband, and it talks about MASH, and then it says trivia is Polish. I don't think that was a surprise to anybody else.
I don't think that's so trivial. Do you?
No, I don't.
You know.
But this is just other stuff around you. Received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1989.
That's true.
Congratulations on that. Do you go visit it ever?
No.
No?
I don't. But when you get a star on Hollywood Boulevard, they give you a facsimile to hang on your wall.
Oh, really?
It's really quite nice.
So it's like you've got a block of cement hanging on the wall with your name?
Not exactly, but it is a star. It has your name, and it lists, you know, the date and so forth. And oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
I should turn this off. Eh?
Okay, yeah.
May I?
Incoming phone call for Ms. Swit.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Important.
Yes.
You know what this is? This is the Hollywood Walk of Fame calling.
I'm right in the middle of my interview.
Yes.
Can I call you back? Okay.
We'll get back to you later.
Yes. Paul says we'll get back to you later.
Yeah, we'll actually be taking calls from Ms. Swit in a little while, but not on her cell phone. So anyway,
I turned it off.
Okay, so they give you the Walk of Fame star facsimile, and where do you have it in your house?
I have it hanging in a sort of hallway where I have other
memorabilia.
And,
the awards you won and all those sort of things?
No, the awards are on shelves.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But, this is a hanging thing. It's really quite nice. It's a great honor.
Absolutely.
Actually, you know.
Where are you on Hollywood Boulevard?
Well, now that's kind of an interesting. If you want to talk about trivia, they can actually lift that block and move you from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends. And where I was, oh gosh, I think it was Highland in Hollywood Boulevard.
Do you know what you were in front of?
I was next to Robert Mitchum.
And oh, you were?
That really was a thrill.
And
yeah,
they moved
I was
you
a
because...
Big fan. I don't know if they've moved me, but as a piece of trivia, I should tell you that they can move those blocks from time to time if they need to rearrange.
See, I would guess Robert Mitchum would start acting up and you might want to be moved. All right, Bob, that's enough. I'm going over a block.
Oh, I was such a fan. I was such a fan of his.
That's cool.
Great actor.
Well, next time I'm in Hollywood, I will look for both of you.
Okay.
On the Walk of Fame.
Okay.
Now, here are the other two things it says, and then we'll get to
also
other stuff.
Also trivial?
Here. Oh, well, under the trivia listing. I didn't call it trivia. The people who put this together on the Internet Movie Database wrote a book on needlepoint.
That's true.
And then the last thing here, just in case you think you have any privacy at all, says wears a size 7 shoe. Your shoe size is on the Internet, Loretta.
How fascinating is that?
I don't know why.
It boggles your mind, doesn't it?
I mean,
really, like, who cares?
Yeah.
But, hey,
now everybody knows.
If I get a pair of shoes in the mail, I'll know why.
Size 7 for Ms. Swit.
And, you know, that's not even totally correct.
Oh, no?
Only because if it's a closed shoe, I generally take a larger size.
Oh, okay.
7.5, 7.5, 8.
All right. Let's talk about the mesh for just a minute here.
Okay.
I was just reading a book a guy by the name of Joe Garner put together called Stay Tuned, TV's Unforgettable Moments. And it comes with a DVD of famous things from TV. And one of the sections is on the mesh finale.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, the show that you all went away with after 11 blockbuster years on CBS. Who decided that that show was going to go away after 11 blockbuster years on CBS?
The majority of us.
Yeah.
Jamie and Bill and Harry went on to do After MASH, but we really wanted it to be over because when you run that long, you are always going to be facing the danger of repeating yourself or even repeating a joke, you know. And we really wanted to close on top, you know, in a good way. And that really was behind it. And also, I think just rationally, it was time to move on and start doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us never stopped doing other things. During the hiatuses, you know, we would do different characters. I think that's important. To keep growing as an actor and get out there and do different things.
Was there talk after year 9, maybe we should quit now?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Probably after year 7 or 8. Larry Linville left in year 7. Gary Berghoff left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was that pull away from home base.
Mm-hmm. And your character, Major Margaret Houlihan, Hot Lips, as she'll forever be known, had been played in the movie version, the Robert Altman movie, classic movie, by Sally Kellerman.
Mm-hmm.
When you were hired to do the role on TV, did you go back and watch what she had done and say, I'm...
Actually, no. I was away when they were casting the pilot, and I was in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, it was... like the first interview that my agency wanted me to go up and have, and they asked me if I'd seen the movie, and I said no, and they said, well, that's okay, you know. So when I went in, I really didn't know anything. When I got the role, I avoided seeing the movie. I've never seen the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm told, because there's no reason to. I'm developing my own character. But I'm told that we were really closer to the book with the kind of episodic feel that the book had over the movie, which was whatever, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it's a one-time, one-shot thing, whereas our characters kept changing and growing and evolving. When you have 11 years to develop a character, you're, whoa, that's hog heaven for an actor.
Absolutely.
Because you're not pigeonholed in this one joke thing, you know.
Well, I can tell you, having seen the TV show all those years and having seen the movie and also having read Richard Hooker's book, you're right that the TV show was much closer to what he wrote in the book and gets closer to, especially I think in the first couple of years when the show had this dark side that was really there, especially some of the episodes early on with Loudon Wainwright with his guitar and some of the songs that he did. That's a lot of Hooker's book, I think, coming through to what Gelbart put into the series.
The theme that everybody plays when I walk through the doors is, the name of the theme is Suicide is Painless.
Right.
It is a very dark comedy.
Yep, absolutely. Now, after all those years of playing a military nurse, you must have learned things about military nurses and, more importantly, heard from military nurses.
Oh, for sure.
What was their reaction? What did some of the women tell you?
And men and women, that it was spot on accurate. For those of us who are fans who still think we were outrageous, most of them said we didn't go far enough.
Is that right?
It was even crazier.
Wow.
Yes. Because as everyone knows this by now, the humor was based on insanity, that they were in an impossible situation doing an impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in young blood,
mm-hmm.
and in order to survive that, they had to either go to the still in the swamp and get drunk and do crazy things, and then it got to all of them, and the only way to survive was to be maniacs and act crazy, and that's what the humor came out of. It wasn't funny to them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
so,
took their jobs very seriously.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You had the best doctors and the best nurses. Those nurses, the real-life people, volunteered to be there.
What?
Those women were not drafted. They volunteered to serve their country.
I never even thought about that. We wouldn't have been sending women into the military in those days.
They volunteered to be in the coldest place on Earth in the winter and the hottest place on Earth in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and do that job close to the front, where you had the mortality rate from snake bite and frostbite overwhelming the fatalities from the war.
Wow.
It's so horrible. And they gave me these beautiful speeches for that nurse, for those images. At one point, Harry Morgan's character, Sherman Potter, wants to send the nurses away because the enemy is approaching.
Mm-hmm.
And she bursts into the shower. He's taking a shower, and she doesn't even realize, you know, she's like so passionate.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I have to do this. You know, it's going to get real bad. And she has this wonderful speech where she says, what do you mean get bad? I bed down with rats and lice and snakes. And she says, you have to understand something. This is what I do. This is what the nurses do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't send us away because it's getting dangerous. It's horrible every day. And she's an army brat. I had this beautiful line that I thought really betrayed her personality. She says, Colonel Potter, you have to understand something. When I was a kid growing up, I thought a civilian was an officer waiting for his uniform to come back from the cleaners. And that tells me everything about her.
Yeah.
This is all she knows, to serve the Army. She coupled with that, she has a father, a high-ranking officer, whom she's always trying to prove herself to.
Mm-hmm.
He never had a son, and she's the son. He's the only son he's ever had.
Right.
So that's what made her so dynamic and interesting and funny, because she tried so hard. And
I think it's so great that here we are 21 years after the show went off the air, and I can feel the passion that you still have for this character.
All of them, actually, the show. But I did love her very much. I loved doing her, and you said the right word. I thought she was very passionate. She was passionate about being the best nurse in Korea. She was passionate about caring about her nurses, the patients. I loved her passion.
Happy to be joined today by Loretta Swit. You remember her for her 11 years on television playing Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan, Major Margaret Houlihan on TV's MASH, and she was also involved in other projects and now is in town for the International Gem and Jewelry Show at the Gateway Center in Collinsville, which goes on tomorrow starting at noon and then on Saturday and Sunday as well. When we were talking about MASH in the last segment, I was thinking to myself, I bet I can guess what your favorite episode was because of your passion for the character
and for what she stood for. Let me hear your guess.
It was an episode where one of the nurses is in love with a guy who's come to visit, and she kind of sneaks out of the tent and involves sneaking out over Major Houlihan, and the other nurses are in there. And at the end of the episode, there's kind of a confrontation between Hot Lips and the others because she feels like they don't respect her, and she's given them everything, and they're giving her nothing. I don't know what it was called.
It was called The Nurses.
Am I right? Is that your favorite one?
It's close. I mean, I don't have just one favorite, so it's in the top 10 or 20 or whatever my favorites were. But, yes, it has, in fact, become a very famous episode because it was such a breakthrough for the character. It was the first time we saw her that upset and that caring that she revealed how lonely it was at the top,
yeah.
You know. It was a very special episode. The gals were lovely to work with. Joan Darling directed it. We had a woman direct it. And it was, yeah, very passionate when she revealed that. I thought it was beautiful.
You said that was the character that was kind of Margaret's coming out party on the show. Is that because you went to them and said, hey, how about a coming out party of some kind for Margaret? I want my character to do more.
Uh-huh. No, actually, that happened a lot sooner. I was in New York on Broadway doing Same Time Next Year.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers and the writers called me. We had a conference during that summer about the coming seasons and if I had any thoughts about where she should start going. And they actually did everything that I was hoping for. I suggested that she break off with the Frank Burns character because they were writing her with integrity and intelligence, and he was staying this kind of inept nincompoop in the operating room for which she had little, if any, respect. And it was a difficult thing to resign, you know, for myself as the character. Loving him, there was no future. He was a married man. It just, there wasn't anything in the relationship that was left. Yeah. So I said I thought that she should find a new beau, go off and meet somebody who outranked her, which really would be lovely mm-hmm. for her to have, mm-hmm. and get engaged to him. And so Gene Reynolds said, and then what? And I said, and then get married to him. And he said, oh, my God, that's so permanent. I said, no, Gene, you're divorced. You should know it's not permanent. Anyway, I said she can find out that he's not true blue and write some funny idea with that. And then she's back in town. She gets divorced, or I don't know. And we did all of those things: Margaret's engagement, Margaret's marriage, and so forth and so on.
You used the word nincompoop. What a great word that is!
That was actually Larry's. Larry Linville called him just such a nincompoop.
You know what's another great word? Penobscot. Now, where did that come from?
Okay, it's a real place. It's a bay in Maine.
Really?
Yes.
So that's...
But how interesting. In fact, it was named after a tribe of Indians.
Huh.
Yeah, it's an Indian name.
Well, I should not make fun of it for any reason here, should I?
It's a nice name.
Yeah.
The characters, both actors, I should say, who played Penobscot, played him just a little off kilter, you know. It was they were both wonderful. It was Beeson Carroll was my first Donald Penobscot, and Mike Henry was my second
one. Was he the one who had to be in the body cast, Mike Henry?
No, that was Beeson.
That was the first one. That's a funny episode with the body cast, which I believe was on their honeymoon, wasn't it?
That's right,
yeah. You know, there's a Friends spinoff called Joey that's going to be on tonight.
I read,
and
yes.
You mentioned that afterwards three of the actors from mm-hmm. MASH went on and did After MASH. Mm-hmm. Was there ever talk of a Hot Lips spinoff?
No, I didn't. Didn't want to do anything like that.
No.
I wanted to
move on and do other things.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I would have left the show if they let me. They wouldn't let me leave the show. I wanted to do Cagney.
Yeah.
That was the whole thought behind. I mean, I wrote some of that and edited some of that movie. I mean, I really wanted to do that as my next kind of big character. And it just didn't work out. So, no, I didn't want to do a spinoff of the same character that I was doing. I would then have just stayed mm-hmm. for another 11 years or whatever.
Right.
Know.
All right, let me take another quick break, then we'll come back, and we will include some of your phone calls for Loretta Swit, who's in town with her jewelry for the International Gem and Jewelry Show. Now, when I say with her jewelry, I don't mean the rings and things that she's wearing right now.
Yeah, yes. This
I mean, they're not going to buy it right off your body, is my what I'm
they
saying.
They have been known to do that,
is
let
that,
me tell
no.
you. Yes, gently. But, yes, they have.
I'm not talking about a mugger, Loretta. I'm talking about people actually buying it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right off your body.
If it's the last one, they can have it. Absolutely.
So this necklace and some of these rings you're wearing?
The rings, are things I've purchased for myself and not my own line. But
good. Well, let's warn everybody when they come. The rings are off limits.
Right, yes, right.
But some of the necklaces and some of the stuff not on her body will be at the Gateway Center in Collinsville starting tomorrow, noon to 6, and then Saturday 10 to 6 and Sunday 11 to 5. And you will be able to meet Loretta during the weekend and buy her stuff all weekend long. And we'll be back with more here on the Paul Harris Show in just a moment on News Talk 1120 KMOX. With the woman who played Margaret Houlihan on TV for 11 years, Loretta Swit. Also, as she mentioned before the break, was the original Chris Cagney for a 1981 TV movie, the Cagney and Lacey TV movie, and then didn't go on to do the TV show because the people at MASH said, no, you're ours, and in Hollywood, we own you. So Meg Foster got the job first.
Yeah, she was delightful, too.
And then Sharon Gless went on and did it.
Wow.
Meg Foster's
knocked
eyes?
Knocked me out, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A lovely, lovely actress. I really like her work.
Let me just mention some other things you've done here. Is it true that you once did a Superman musical with Alan Ludden from Password?
Well, I think Alan was in it as himself, like a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
I did do the television version of It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman.
And there was a musical. I never heard of it, so I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah, that was a musical on Broadway. And Leslie Ann Warren was Lois Lane,
uh-huh.
Which was, like, so perfect. I mean, she was born to play that
part. Yeah, that would be good casting. Yeah. So, and what role did you play?
It was kind of an invention from the comic strips. It was, she wasn't in. Leslie Carlson was her name.
Uh-huh.
And she was also a reporter with a big crush on Clark Kent. And she didn't know he was Superman.
And did you sing? You know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Sounds like a funny idea.
Yeah, it was very good.
Speaking of funny, you did a very funny movie with Blake Edwards.
S.O.B.
S.O.B., yes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of known as the one where we see Julie Andrews' breasts, but it's also a very funny physical movie.
Oh, yes.
When you work with Blake Edwards, you got to be ready to do physical comedy, right?
Actually, he lets you do your thing. That's what's so brilliant about Blake. He has a little monitor on the set, and you can actually watch yourself. And if you crack up, he knows it's good, because it's interesting. Actors don't always laugh at themselves, mm-hmm. Like writers. Larry Gelbart, I would watch him, and he was very serious watching his very funny stuff, you mm-hmm. know, because we're listening to it a kind of a different way, you mm-hmm. know, playback. But, yes, Blake is wonderful. I was telling somebody the other day that people would go to the set when they weren't working just to be around, because it was like going to a party. It was so much fun, you know?
Just to watch what was happening and be a part of the Blake Edwards experience.
And Blake and Julie and I are still very good friends. They're wonderful people. I adore them.
That's terrific. Let me go to the phones. We have some questions for Loretta Swit. Here's the phone number, 314-436-7900. Toll free, 800-925-1120. Patrick, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
How are you today, Loretta?
I'm fine, Patrick. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to see you in St. Louis.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
We are lifelong animal lovers, and we wanted to thank you and compliment you for all you do to promote humane treatment of animals. You are a very wonderful and compassionate person.
Thanks very much. That's how the jewelry line got started. You know, I was putting together little things in an amateurish sort of way before it became a full-fledged line. But the pieces that I did became great sources of fundraisers. As you know, you always need money to help animals. And the daughter of the family who runs these shows, the Intergem shows, makes it a policy to go to auctions and to estate sales. And at this one auction, she bought 5 pieces, and they were all mine. And she turned it over, saw my name, and she said, "My gosh, I've got to get a hold of her. How do I get a hold of her?" And she tracked me down and said, "Why don't you come and be with us and really give your line some play?" And that's how the whole thing began.
And the cause that you work hardest for is called Actors and Others for Animals, right?
Well, it's one of the organizations I sit on the board for. Each organization has a different thrust. There's one in Illinois right here that I'm very active with. In fact, we're going to have a big, beautiful barn raising, fundraising October 2nd. It's in Barrington, Illinois.
What's it called?
It's HARPS, Hoofed Animal Rescue and Protection. Mm-hmm. Donna Ewing is a very wonderful woman who... Mm-hmm. pulled the whole thing together years and years ago, and we rescue and protect anything with a hoof and everything in between, but mostly mostly horses and cows and pigs and goats and you name it, mm-hmm. llamas, whatever.
All right, there you go, Patrick. Thanks for calling. Before I go to the next call, as an animal activist, what do you think of some of the techniques that PETA uses to get their point across?
They're not on my list of people I organizations that I work for. They can get a little radical, you know, for me, and I don't think we accomplish what we set out to accomplish if we get revolutionary and radical. I think they've improved, though, a lot. I think it's better to try to educate someone wearing a fur coat, for example, rather than throw something at them. Or I don't believe that's the way to do things.
I think they should change it from PETA to one step forward, three steps back, because I think they hurt the cause. And there are other groups for other agendas that do the same thing, that they get, too
but
radical.
But they've gotten better and better, really. I've been aware of that. because I've been saying that about them for a while, and they've changed some leadership and so forth, and I think they're really trying hard to not be as volatile, you know.
I'm glad to hear that. Let me go back to the phones, and here is Jim on KMOX. Hello.
Yes. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing fine. Say hello to Loretta Swit.
Hi, Loretta. I'm a big fan of
you. Oh, thanks.
And I really enjoy MASH. It sounds like Paul's a big MASH fan, too.
He is, yes, I think.
Absolutely.
Now, with the new DVDs out, you know, with the seasons, I think it's like season 5 or season 6 out on DVDs right now.
Yes.
It really shows a lot more than what you really saw on TV because of the added attractions to DVD and all.
Right, yes. You have the whole show as opposed to the syndicated, which is cut up. You know, you have... a lot missing.
Yeah, many people don't know that when the show aired, the episodes were longer because there were fewer commercials. And now when they put the show out in syndication, and it's been out in syndication ever since it first, even before it went off the air, it was in syndication.
Yes, year three.
But now you miss 2 or 3 and sometimes 5 minutes of an episode because they're jamming more commercials in there. And a lot of that is the opening.
Probably even more than that.
Is that right?
No, sure. The original run is about 22 minutes to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, you miss a lot.
Yeah,
they miss a lot.
So all of that's on the DVD now. Thanks for calling. Here is Scott on KMOX. Hello.
Hey, Paul, longtime listener from the other station.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming over here with me.
I hope she doesn't mind if I call her Margaret.
No, I'll answer to it.
Oh, call her either Loretta or Miss Swift, for goodness sake. Go ahead.
My favorite is the one where you and Hawkeye are caught in the gunfire.
Comrades in Arms.
Yeah, that's my favorite episode. It's on right now, not that one, but the one where Hawkeye wants the ribs from Chicago.
Adam's ribs.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
I was wondering what it was like when McClain left, because he's from Illinois, from Norman.
Bloomington. I was very, very close to McClain. It broke my heart. I mean, I didn't know how I would survive without him. I really was heartbroken. But the day he left, he said to me, I know I'll never be in anything this good again. He knew that, but he felt that he wanted to move on and be number one of one,
That last scene where Gary Berghoff comes in and reads the message that Colonel Henry Blake's plane has gone down on the Sea of China.
Abyssinia Henry.
Did you know what he was going to say?
No, we did just before we shot it. We didn't know all week. It was the last page. We call it the tag. It's after the last commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And they handed it to us, so we knew going in what he was going to be saying.
Mm. And the emotion we see in your faces seemed very real. Yeah, I know you're all very good actors.
It's all real. It's real no matter what, mm-hmm. whether you know or not, because that's how you work as an actor. Yeah. You don't falsify a feeling,
Yeah.
For the most part, you don't. But everybody has their own technique. These particular actors were always very honest and real. Larry Gelbart talked about that a little bit when we were on the Today Show. He said everyone in production agreed that there was no reason for us to be in pain and so sad all week. Why didn't we just,
save it for the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks for calling. I just want to say one thing. I had the honor of having McClain Stevenson on my show. I think it was in 1987 or 88.
So was he not the greatest and the funniest man who ever walked? I told him every day, I would say, you've given me so many laugh lines. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear anything you're going to say to me. He was just so funny.
I will say this about McClain Stevenson. I've interviewed lots and lots of people in all the years that I've been on the radio. Some of them as lovely as you, but none as funny as McClain Stevenson. The man was, comedians, actors, actresses, whoever it was, this guy was the funniest human being I ever met.
Absolutely. No argument there.
Just absolutely.
The world was his prop. I mean, he was so funny. He could just take whatever's here, the book, the coffee cup, whatever, and turn it into a three-act comedy, and you would be on the floor. I mean, I used to watch. We were helpless and tears jetting out of our face. It was amazing. He was an amazing.
That's how it was.
Man.
I was doing a morning show at the time, and that's what it was like. And he was just improvising all over the place.
Yes, yes.
And it's a shame that they could never catch that lightning in a bottle again after MASH. He did that Hello Larry show that didn't really go anywhere
because McClain was a reactor. He was perfect in mm-hmm. that slot mm-hmm. on MASH. Of course, I have to put in quickly that we were blessed and lucky to get Harry Morgan to come in and give us a whole different kernel. But, yep. I mean, God, that was inspired casting. And, of course, we are all the – if you had to have the cast here and ask them who your favorite colleague on that show was – everyone I know would say Harry
mm-hmm.
because he was just the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very lucky. I was heartbroken when McClane left, and then I sound really fickle. I think about 2 minutes into Harry Morgan's Colonel Potter, I was just so over the moon. Happy.
Which, by the way, was reflected on the show. The characters went through the same thing. Trepidation about this guy's not here anymore, and what's the new guy going to be like?
Feel him out. See what, is he regular army? Is he going to be a pal? And then to watch Sherman Potter grow into, you know, he came in like, I only have a little bit of time left. You better listen to me. I don't want any, right. any mouth from you.
Right.
And then become Margaret's pal, father, confessor, friend, commanding officer. I mean, he wore so many hats in our relationship on screen. And, of course, off screen, just one of my dearest, dearest, dearest friends.
Wow, yeah, a truly amazing cast. I got to do some more business, then we'll come back and talk more with Loretta Swit and really promote the event that she's in town for, which is the International Gem and Jewelry Show, which is at the Gateway Center in Collinsville tomorrow, noon to 6, Saturday 10 to 6, and Sunday 11 to 5. She's here because she has a line of jewelry that she's designed, wearing some of it here in the studio today, and selling much of it this weekend at the International Gem and Jewelry Show. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show every afternoon from 2 until 6 here on News Talk 1120 KMOX. And what a great hour I'm having here with Loretta Swit, who you know is Margaret Houlihan from TV's MASH. And I will tell you, the studio smells fantastic today.
You like my perfume,
that's because
eh?
Did you design this perfume?
Yes, I did.
I heard that you had a perfume line.
Up, yeah, and it'll be available at the Gem Show, too.
What's it called?
It's called Ushabti.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, I know. Thank you. It's Ushabti, U-S-H-A-B-T-I. I know my brother warned me about that, too, but at least it's a conversation piece, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love exotic things. The theme of the perfume is exotic. It has the cap is an Egyptian head, an ancient Egyptian head. And Ushabti is the name of the figures that were buried in the tomb of the deceased to help them in the afterlife. And since great perfumes have a great afterlife, you know, you should kind of maybe even follow somebody down the street to find out what they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's called a sillage or an afterlife for the perfume. And I thought there was a tie-in there. The original name of my perfume was Simba. And then, of course, Disney came out with The Lion King. And I thought, well, I'm going to not fight that giant. I'm going to have to, you know, come up with another name.
Because they'll sue you in a second.
Hello.
Yeah.
And so... So I fancied Ushabti as my second choice.
Okay, so that's the line of the perfume and your jewelry line. It says in your promotional material, presenting her signature jewelry designs influenced by her international travels, like to where?
Well, Egypt for mm-hmm. one place, several trips to Egypt. But I've always been kind of an amateur Egyptologist. I know a lot about not a lot, but I have a library of books that are not there for show. I mean, I've really gone into the religious aspect of the gods and what they stood for. Our perfume originally comes from ancient Egypt, as does our makeup and skincare and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the colors of Egypt. I use them a lot in my jewelry, like carnelian, for example. The tombs are painted with precious stones and semi-precious stones, which they crushed and mixed with Nile water and took a piece of papyrus, peeled it, made a paintbrush, and painted figures inside the tombs. Now, those paintings are still there. I mean, they were a culture that was so way ahead
mm-hmm.
of civilization. So all of this is very fascinating to me. There is a god for perfume. He's called Nefertum. And I thought maybe that should be the name of it. But That seemed to me just as obscure and difficult to pronounce as Ushabti, so
all of
I
the,
went with Ushabti.
All of these things inspired both the perfume line and the jewelry line.
And the jewelry as well, yes. There's actually, it's not real gold, but it looks like it is a necklace that is very, very Egyptian. We call it the Egyptian collar. So, yes, there are many things in the line that is very exotic.
And people can see it this weekend at the Gateway Center in Collinsville, tomorrow from noon to 6, Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday from 11 to 5, and while you're there.
And we should tell them if they don't come, they need to send me a note from their teacher.
Don't get Major Houlihan mad. You don't want that. Trust me. Anyway, Loretta Swit will be there this weekend as well. You can meet her and see her stuff. And it is a great pleasure to have you in the studio today.
Oh, thanks. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you for this hour. I appreciate it. Loretta Swit here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.